All right. We're about ready to get back with it. Everybody grab a seat. Boogity, 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 boogity. I'm sorry I don't have time to stop and visit with everybody. I wish I could. I'm doing the best that I can, but it goes beyond saying how much I appreciate and admire and love many of you very dearly and very personally. So thank you for all the encouragement, all the prayers. Yeah, we were going to sing a song, but I ran out of time. Is that okay with you if we don't sing? All right, good. Open your Bible to Matthew 11, verse 29. Matthew 11, 29. Maybe we better have a word of prayer and make sure we're all back in fellowship, especially the song leader. All right, let's pray for a minute, just a little rebound for a minute. We are grateful, Father, for the privilege to assemble one more time to take a final look at these things. Please challenge us with what we're studying. Help us to see it so we can apply it into our lives effectively on a daily basis. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Matthew 11, 29. Take my, what's that word say? Y-O-K-E. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Take and learn are both volitional decisions. Remember, God gave you volition, and your volition can be positive volition or it can be negative volition. Positive volition is you saying, yes, sir, will do, sir, absolutely, sir. Negative volition is, well, maybe, sir, not right now, sir, I'm busy, sir. This is a volitional decision to put this yoke on you. If you're willing to put the yoke on you, what you will find is an amazing thing. The word yoke is the Greek word Z-U-G-O-S, zugos. And it's referring to a metaphorical yoke the believer attaches around his neck. The Lord Jesus Christ is asking you to put the yoke on your neck like an animal would have a yoke on it. We take off the yoke of religious bondage and we replace it with the yoke of God's grace provisions. That's the thing. People don't understand this. Religious bondage will yoke you to something you can't believe, you can't keep up with, you can't do it all. You can take, and that's what he's telling these Sadducees and Pharisees and people that had been suppressed all these years, take off the yoke of religious bondage and put on my yoke and it will free you up. Colonel Thames Dictionary defines the grace of God as the initiation of God's plan and provision for man's relationship with him, called antecedent grace provisions. These antecedent grace provisions were provided in eternity past for us. So when we put on the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're taking those antecedent grace provisions. The word take is not a request. It's an aorist active imperative of the verb airo. A-I-R-O. An aorist active imperative of the verb airo. And it's an imperative of entreaty, meaning this is not a request. This is a mandate from the Lord Jesus Christ. Take it and put it on. Connect that with the word manthano, which is the word learn, take and learn. Learn is also an imperative. It's not a request, it's a mandate. Take and learn both require positive volition on your part. Well, what exactly am I supposed to learn? Okay, all right, I'm going to put the yoke on. I'll take it. Now, what do you want me to learn? Well, here's what he said. The first thing to learn is I am meek and gentle. The Greek word pros, P-R-A-U-S, is a descriptive adjective referring to the demeanor of our Savior. which meant that the Lord Jesus Christ was not given to mood swings. He wasn't given to anger. He wasn't given to hostility. It's possible for you, using the internal system of virtue that he had adopted into your life, to do away with your mood swings, to do away with your frustrations, to do away with your anger and hostility. That's what those 10 problem-solving devices do for you. The Lord Jesus Christ was not subject to arrogant, unrealistic expectations because he contained his human emotions. Remember, he was hypostatic union, God and man in one body forever. Remember that. Don't forget that. But he had total self-control in the worst affliction ever experienced by any human being in the history of this planet. Total self-control. And you see him saying that on the cross when he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." That's what you must say in your life. Not my will, but thy will be done. You have the courage to take and learn what the will of God is for you, because it might not be what you think it is. The second statement is, I am lowly in heart. I'm humble, taponosis, Greek word taponosis. I'm lowly in cardia, heart. What does that mean? I'm lowly in heart. It's another metaphor referring to his demeanor of humility. Now, Lord Jesus Christ was unpretending. So if you put gentle and you put humble together, what does that refer to? In a relationship to Jesus Christ, what does that refer to? It refers to this. Being gentle and humble means he had the authority, but he knew how to control authority when he had to exercise it. Remember that song, "He Could Have Called 10,000 Angels"? I think somebody was supposed to sing it this morning, didn't do it. He could have called 10,000 angels. He had the authority, but he didn't do it. During his earthly ministry, he was totally reliant on God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, which set an example for us called the Zugos template. In Philippians 2, 6 and 7, he humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. And that's how Paul refers to these attributes when he writes to the church in Ephesus. He said this, "I'm a prisoner of the Lord," Ephesians 4. "Urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received by being completely humble and gentle." There's the same thing the Lord Jesus Christ just said, Matthew. By being completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Show tolerance for one another in virtue love. What is that? Horizontal love, impersonal love. So the Zugos prescription that we're talking about, this hupogrammos, this template that we're going to put on and call a yoke, it requires horizontal virtue. It requires teachability, vertical virtue. One is motivated by impersonal love for other people. The other is motivated by personal love for God the Father. Here's your motivational verse. Listen carefully. Psalm 86, verse 11. "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to respect and reverence your name." What a great verse. Can you claim that verse as your verse? "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to respect and reverence your name." Are you teachable? Teachability requires humility. Some people are too smart to learn sometimes, because they can't get past their own thinking. You got to be like a child sometimes. That's what faith is, just like a small child. Jump, jump. The child trusts you. Our Lord goes on to say that Zugos will give you rest. The yoke will give you rest. Not rest from work, but more like refreshment or relief from the burden of organized religion. Freedom from oversight and judgment by other people when you're resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you take my yoke, take and learn, and you will find rest. Organized religion will never let you rest. To meet the requirements of organized religion, you must work for your salvation and work to demonstrate your dedication and your spirituality. That's not the Christian life. That's not the precedence the Lord Jesus Christ set. The Zugos template that he's asking you to take, the yoke he wants you to put on, it is not overbearing in your life. Listen again, Matthew 11:30. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Easy and light. Our Lord would never ask you to submit to something that was destructive or oppressive in your life. Never do that. Easy. That word means manageable. It's manageable. My yoke is easy and my burden, fortion, the Greek word fortion, used metaphorically as something you bear. My burden, what he's going to ask you to do is what? Is light. That's used in contrast to what the regulations of the Pharisees required, which was oppressive. The Lord Jesus Christ said, my burden is light. It's easy to bear. So principle one, the Zugos prescription is not destructive. It's not oppressive. But it is rather illuminating and enabling. It's illuminating and enabling. If you'll take it and learn. Illuminating? What do I mean by the Zugos prescription is illuminating? Well, listen to the Bible. Colossians 1:26. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations and now been revealed to his saints. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have been illuminated with this mystery doctrine of the church, the indwelling of the Shekinah glory living in you. Christ in you, the power of Christ in you. Paul said the power of Christ is now in you. It's enabling. Philippians 4:13. What I mean by enabling, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. There it is again. The power of Christ enables you. It illuminates you. So once fitted or connected by the virtue of the perfect pattern, the Zugos template, provided by the perfect Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, then you will be able to match perfectly with God's plan for your life. Once fitted by virtue of the perfect pattern, provided by the perfect Savior, you will be able to match perfectly with God's plan for your life. But you must take, you must learn. It's your volitional decision. The Zugos template is the spiritual life of Christ passed on to you by means of the mentorship of the Holy Spirit. And you cannot replicate it in your own energy, your own human dynamics. It won't work. The Christian life doesn't work like that. This is the most unique life in the history of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ gives it to you. It's his spiritual life, his virtue. It's transferable to you. That template that we are going to put around our neck took over 30 years to manufacture, 3 years to demonstrate, and once he perfected it, it's never been worn out. It'll never wear out. The spiritual life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you like to hear some of the results if you wear that Zugos template? Would you like to hear what it do for you? Listen to this. It will give you compassion and graciousness. Psalm 86:15. You, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and graciousness, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. That can be your personality profile right there. Compassionate and gracious. The template will also give you righteousness and justice. Psalm 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, O God. Mercy and truth go before you. When you put on the template and you have his righteousness provided by you, this is what people miss sometimes. God is absolutely righteous. Man is absolutely not righteous. There are none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. So when we come to Christ and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness is attributed to us. And then God the Father has perfect righteousness. Now we're able to have fellowship with the Father. We have the righteousness of Christ in us. And we learn how to be just believers. We don't judge, we don't malign, we don't criticize. If we have a problem, we take it to the Supreme Court of Heaven and leave it there. Don't be complaining, griping, carrying on. You got a raw deal. Okay, you got a raw deal. They didn't give you the right amount of change, or they didn't do something right. You're all mad and all bent out of shape about it and running around like a chicken with his neck cut off. You know, calm down. The Supreme Court of Heaven handles those sort of things for you. If you let it go, if you give it up, or you can keep being mad about it and frustrated about it and get on the phone and call somebody and tell them what a raw deal you got, or you can just keep your mouth shut, turn it over to the Lord, and you'll be a lot happier. The Zugos template will eliminate fear in your life. Psalm 3:6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. What a way to live, no fear. You better get that one in mind when we go to war. It's coming sooner than you think. We're not going to make it much longer. If we keep going like we're going as a nation, you've heard me say there's a train wreck coming. I can hear the whistle blowing right now. It's coming. Don't be afraid. The Lord will provide for you exactly what you need. The Zugos prescription will give you confidence. Psalm 3:8. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and your blessing is upon your people. It will give you protection. Psalm 27, verse 5. For in times of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me, and he will lift me up on a rock. It will give you the ability to have virtue love. Psalm 26, verse 3. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. It will give you deliverance. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him, and he delivers them. It'll give you rest. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Don't fret. Rest in the Lord. It'll give you strength. The Zugos prescription will give you strength that other people don't have. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in times of trouble. And the Zugos prescription will give you peace. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and to be thankful. And it will give you insight. 1 Timothy 4:4. Everything created by God is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it's received with gratitude. So before we start wrapping it up, let's think about this for a minute. How you endure affliction in your life, how you handle suffering that you will go through, how you deal with these calamities in your life, is a direct gauge of your maturity as a believer. Finally, the Zugos prescription is enabling you to do the impossible, enabling you to do what other people cannot do. What did he say? Philippians 4:13, I can do what? All things through Christ who gives me the strength. There's the Zugos prescription. That's the power of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Finally, the purpose of the Zugos prescription. Why is that yoke there? What's the reason for the yoke? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ tell you, put it on? You want to hear the reason? Here's why you should put it on. Here's why you should take it. Here's why you should learn it. This is why the hupogrammos is important for you. 2 Thessalonians 1:12. that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's wrap it up now. You learning something this morning? I hope so. Let's recap this. How you overcome affliction is a direct gauge of your maturity as a believer. Are you going to go through affliction? Yes. You've heard it said from this pulpit, adversity is inevitable, stress is optional. Adversity is what circumstances do to you, and stress is what you do to yourself. So as a believer, you don't have to worry, you don't have to be afraid, you don't ever have to get anxiety, you don't have to get anxious, you don't have, I mean, it's what a wonderful, marvelous way to live, to know that the Lord Jesus Christ enables you to handle all these things through the power of God. So how can I overcome affliction? It's a direct gauge of my maturity as a believer. This is a wonderful way to witness, because there are going to be people that know you, that watch you go through some of the afflictions that you'll suffer, and they're going to be amazed at how relaxed you are about it, that you're not in panic palace, that you're not going to every doctor in town trying to get cured, that you're not calling up everybody on the phone and saying, pray for me, oh, pray for me. Once is enough. The Father knows what you got. He can handle it. We've also learned that rebound is the filling of the Holy Spirit, and you cannot grow spiritually if you don't rebound. But we also learned that redound is a superabundance of the personal love of God in your life, that your love may redound, overflow. Your motivation to advance to spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum is you redounding. We learned two of the reasons that God allows affliction in your life. Let's see if you remember these. For growth and for glorification. That's two of the reasons. For you to grow and for you to glorify. I skipped over a passage. I'm not sure I can find it, but I skipped over it when I was running out. There's a verse I wanted to give you, if I can remember where it is. I got like 50 pages of notes here. Romans 5:3, but we exalt in our afflictions, knowing that afflictions bring about perseverance or patience. The verse I'm trying to find, I can't remember where I had it in my notes, but it says, it's good that I was afflicted, or good that I went through this so that I might learn your word. You can find it. We also saw that Paul cautioned us not to allow afflictions to move the mentality of our soul. This Saino, remember that? Seismology. Don't let afflictions rearrange your thinking to where you go through it and come out a different person, where your emotions kick in and you begin to live by emotions rather than by faith and doctrine. I thought that was really a good principle there, because I've seen that happen where people went under affliction, they became different people. They didn't think the same. Even though they had years of doctrine under their belt, they changed and they got emotional because of what they're going through. So Paul cautions you not to allow affliction to move the mentality of your soul, not to rearrange your thinking, not to shake your confidence in God. And then he gave us his own personal testimony, where he said these words. He said, I am under affliction, but I have no anxiety. 2 Corinthians 4:8. So do not ever allow any affliction to convert to anxiety in your soul. I didn't give you the Greek word for affliction. It's called thlipsis, but affliction is designed to teach you patience. It's designed to give you contentment with God's plan and his timing. and to represent Jesus Christ to others, how we endure it. Afflictions brings opportunity to be blessed, increase your rewards in eternity. And we learned that you can be an overcomer of these afflictions. In John 16:33, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we saw that overcoming affliction requires you to contain your emotions, operate on divine viewpoint thinking. You must focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and his provisions, get your eyes off yourself. You must have the discipline to eliminate distractions in your life. Keep taking in the word, even in times of suffering. And you must have the commitment to finish the race in times of discouragement. You can't quit. Simply put, the power of Christ is the filling of the Holy Spirit and the maximum use of the 10 problem-solving devices. We saw where the power of Christ identifies with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the power of the living Word of God, the power of faith, and the power of prayer. We gave you those verses. And we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ showed us how during his earthly ministry, he left us a template for living the spiritual life, an example, hupogrammos. And we were to put on the yoke. So we saw the power of Christ is available to each one of us. And we noticed that it took 30 years to manufacture and 3 years to complete it. So the Zugos is illuminating, revealed in the recorded canon of Scripture. It illuminates us. It helps us see and understand things we don't know. And we saw that it's enabling. The Zugos is illuminating and enabling. We saw Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We saw that God allows affliction into your life to develop patience and contentment and capacity for life. And we saw that the increase of our confidence in God and our contentment in his plan is God's overall deal for us. That affliction is to increase our confidence in God and contentment with his plan. That's what Paul had to learn. I want it to go away, Father. It's nagging at me. It's bugging me. I can't sleep at night. I keep waking up at night. I want this to go away, Lord. Why can't you take it away? My grace is sufficient. Use the power of Christ. That template gives us the opportunity to glorify God and represent him to other individuals. Listen to this carefully. 2 Thessalonians 1:12. This is what you must do. This is your verse. That the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Question, is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ glorified in you? Is it? Do you have the Zugos yoke? Are you wearing that yoke? Are you learning of me? What happens is the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. Scripture is layered, and Bobby can tell you this. Colonel Thame taught me this, but Colonel Thame could teach through John 3:16 one time, turn around and teach it another time, turn around and teach it another time, and every time it'd be something different because it's layered. Once you dig off the top layer, then you see something else and you see something else. We don't ever get to the bottom of it seems like, because it's layered. But that's our source. That's what we have to do as we learn God's word under adversity, under the toughest situation in our life, not to wimp out, not to get full of fear, not to let our minds be rearranged and let our emotions take over, but to sustain our lives under the power of Christ every day, so that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified in you and you in him, to the grace of our God and our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have more things I could tell you. I'm not going to try to go through more. I think that's probably enough for you. I would like to say this as we wrap it up. I walked into this church in 1974 and sat over there on that side aisle over there. They were very kind and very gracious. They gave me a chair to sit in because I always got the one that went boing. Have you ever sat in that one? It went boing. So they gave me a chair, and I sat right over there in 1974. I don't know how many years ago that was, but some people ask me sometimes, how did you find out about Colonel Thien? Well, I had a president of my Bible college named C. Sumner Wimp, and he and Colonel Thien went to Dallas together, and he introduced me to Colonel Thien, Mr. Wimp, and the colonels called him Wimpy. Wimpy, hey, Wimpy. And they were great friends. And I guess I started listening to the colonel about 1972, maybe a little bit earlier than that. It was 74 before I got out here. But what a marvelous, wonderful, sustaining my life this church has been. My wife and my family and my children, four children. This has been my home away from home. And the prayers and the encouragement and the support that have sustained me all the years have come from here. I've stood in this pulpit and taught doctrine at least 80 or 90 lessons that I've taught from that pulpit. Now we're teaching from down here. And maybe the Lord will let us come back and teach again. I hope so. But it has been a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous opportunity. I'm so grateful for the privilege that Bobby gives me to do this. Bobby and I go way back many years ago to Fort Benning, Georgia, when he was there, when we met each other for the first time. And you might not know this about your pastor. Did you know he was the arm wrestling champion of Hawaii? He sure was. And one of the first things we did is I took him to an arm wrestling tournament in Georgia. And he entered the arm wrestling tournament. He did really good, too. Bobby's really great and strong. The only thing Bobby was never good at was swimming because I beat him swimming. He denies that to this day. We had a big race one time in a pond, and he probably beat me by about that much. But I always say, I beat you. No, you didn't. I beat you. We've had some great memories, great years together, great, wonderful opportunities together. It was my privilege to speak at the Colonel's 50th anniversary. It was my privilege to speak at Bobby's investiture. It was my privilege to speak at the Colonel's funeral. It was my privilege to speak at Betty's funeral. It was my privilege to do Bobby's wedding to Norma here in this church. What a great ministry God has given to me, a great opportunity. And he gives to each of us a history and a destiny and a ministry. So I hope this has been encouraging to you. I hope you will go home and put on that zugos, that yoke, and get traced into his example. And I hope you understand now what the power of Christ really is for your life. We continue to broadcast our radio shows in 110 stations today. So in 110 cities across America today, I spoke. Not just here in Baraka, but in Philadelphia, in Green Bay, in Phoenix, in Tucson, and I can't remember all of them. Spokane. And we get calls every day from these people. You wouldn't believe some of those phone calls we get. But we've been able to print and manufacture books by the thousands that we mail out to people asking for information. And we always say, where can I get a good pastor? And we always will go to baraka.org. And here's where you can listen to my pastor. Here's how he teaches the Word of God. And we've funneled hundreds of people this way. So keep praying for that radio ministry for us, please. The Lord will continue to use me in that vein. Okay, enough of that. Any questions? All right, let's close out in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of giving this information. It was so exciting to study it and learn it. I hope I represented it effectively. I hope our friends here were challenged by what they heard. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. May we live by the power of Christ in us, that confidence that we have. May we wear that zugos on our neck every day. Cut us into his image so that we have the mind of Christ and we begin to identify with Christ in everything that we do. For we ask it in his name. Amen.